little bit of game show music. It's that time again. Once a month or thereabouts, we get to have some fun. Carlo comes in. He's our super secret guest. And we play some game shows. So if you're at home, if you're in the car driving, if you're on vacation, wherever you are, grab a piece of paper and a pencil and wake the kids up, get grandma and grandpa, sit around the kitchen table and get ready to play the Catholic Answers Quiz Show. Thanks for coming back for another hour, Carlo.
Thanks for having me back. So it's still the Catholic Answers Quiz Show. I guess you're going with that now, right?
Well,
because it used to be the game show.
And
then the last time,
we
were on, you started saying quiz show, and I quizzed you on that. And now
Problem. I think you're looking for consistency in the wrong place. Like, I am not the guy to come to for
looking
consistency.
Looking for consistency in all the wrong places.
All right. I'm not going to give out the number because we have two wonderful contestants. Oh, I say they're wonderful contestants, but I don't even know them. First contestant. Who's our first contestant? Wayne is our first contestant. Wayne, are you there with us?
I am.
Hello, Wayne. We can hear you well. Where are you and what's interesting about you, Wayne?
So I'm currently in Melbourne, Australia. We're relocating to Perth as of next week. What's interesting about me? Well, my friends all say that I have a face that's perfect for the radio. So
congratulations. Congratulations. Well, you're on the perfect show then.
And you're in good company. With
why? Because I have that.
Sigh.
Oh, that's all right. Let me recover, Wayne. Okay, so Melbourne on the east coast of Australia, Perth on the west coast of Australia. There's not enough sharks in Melbourne for you, so you would need to go to Perth. Why are you moving out there?
Well, so my wife has a job there in Perth already, so she's already in Perth. We were just waiting because there's a lot of border closures, but the borders should be open soon. So next week, I'm going to drive all the way, pack the trailer, take the dog with me.
Wow. You're going to drive across Australia. Very cool.
I am, yeah.
All right.
Good luck with that, brother.
Yeah. Man, I hope Abby's interesting because this is going to be awfully unfair if Abby's not interesting. Contestant number two, Abby, you there with us?
Hi, yes, I am here.
Hi, Abby. Where are you and what's interesting about you?
I am in Greenville, South Carolina, and something interesting about me, I'm 15 years old, and I love Jane Austen.
That's two interesting things about you. Are you trying to compete with Wayne? That's fair. What do you like about Jane Austen? I think that's as cool as can be. What do you like about Jane Austen?
Oh, man. I guess the language of the books, I would have to say.
That's English.
All right. There's so many things to love.
Yes, I know. That's good. Have you seen any of the movies? They love to make movies out of Jane Austen books.
They're rarely good.
Oh,
some of them
yeah. See, that's the thing is, that's the way I am with Tolkien movies or stuff. Because if you love the books, it's always hard to love the movies. All right. Well, that's it. Very good. Two interesting guests. You both ready to play?
Yeah. Oh, I am.
All right. I'm going to go over the rules. You get to ask any questions you want, and then we start. There's three rounds to the Catholic Answers Game Quiz Show. And the last round is called Final Judgment. So whoever wins the first two rounds goes on to your final judgment. So the first two rounds, three questions each in each round. And each question you have is a multiple choice questions. So round one, three multiple choice questions to Wayne, three multiple choice questions to Abby. And then we'll count them all up, see who's ahead. We'll go to round two. And then after that, whoever's got more points goes on to their final judgment. All that's clear?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Sorry to wake you up for the answer. Also, there are some afterlife lines, however, because you're playing the Catholic Answers quiz game show. And the afterlines are as follows. If you come upon a question and you're like, I don't know, I need to narrow that down, just tell Carlo, I want to use my 50-50, and we'll take one away, and then you got a 50-50 chance at it. So we'll take one wrong answer away. You're left with the right answer, and another wrong answer brings your odds up to 50-50. The other afterlife line you can use is you can just ask Carlo to tell you the right answer. Here's the deal, though. Once you have used one of your afterlife lines, either in round one or round two, it is gone. You don't get a new set in round two. So when they're used, they are gone. All of that clear?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
And is there anything else that I should be saying that either of you can think of?
The pig
Coming
Latin.
Back, pig Latin.
I love it. Oh, they both knew. Did you tell them this, Edgar? Did you tell them? All right, the pig Latin. When Carlo gives you the correct answer, he will have to do so in pig Latin. And if you get to your last question and you haven't used that lifeline, I will insist upon you using it because we love hearing Carlo do pig Latin. All right, that's it. Oh, did I do everything right, Carlo?
I think so. I'm inclined to hope and think that they are aware of the pig Latin because I do it so eloquently and so well that people remember it rather than me doing it so horribly that people remember it.
I'm glad you are inclined to hope that. Having that kind of hope is way better than a rational hope, Carlo. All right, Abby, Wayne is number one, and we just do it this way. Whoever we got on the line first, that's contestant number one. Whoever got on the line second is contestant number two. So, Wayne, here is your first question. By the way, people are playing at home. They woke Grandma and Grandpa up for this. They got the pencils sharpened. So let me read the question twice before you answer. Wayne, question number one. Lent is an old English word for A, penance, B, paying a debt, C, spring. Once again, Wayne, Lent is an old English word for A, penance, B, paying a debt, C, spring.
I'm going to have to use a 50-50,
Carlo. All right, so I will eliminate penance.
All right, so the two that you are left for is Lent is an old English word for B, paying a debt, or C, spring.
I'm going to say B, paying a debt.
Oh, so that's close. A bummer. Yeah, it's the old English word Lenten, which means springtime, which fits with the season being celebrated during spring.
And the reason I'm doing some Lent questions is Lent starts next week.
Indeed.
You're aware
of
this?
Indeed it is.
And
I'm aware.
It starts on Wednesday for everybody in this building except for Andrew. Starts on Monday for Andrew. Did you know that?
Actually, I didn't. I didn't know that.
Because I guess Chaldeans get a two-day running head start. So they have Ash Monday? I don't know. All right, Abby, your first question. Lent officially runs from Ash Wednesday until A, the Mass of the Lord's Supper on Holy Thursday, B, the start of the Vigil Mass on Holy Saturday, or C, sunrise on Easter morning. Once again, Abby, Lent officially runs from Ash Wednesday until A, the Mass of the Lord's Supper on Holy Thursday, B, the start of the Vigil Mass on Holy Saturday, or C, sunrise on Easter morning.
I'm going to say B, the Easter Vigil.
No, what? Make up your mind. It's supposed to be a boing oing.
Yeah. Oh, good try, Abby. And that would be sort of the initial go-to that everybody would. But actually, it ends on the Mass of the Lord's Supper on Holy Thursday because the Lord's Supper ushers in what is called the Holy Triduum, which is actually a liturgical season in its own right. In fact, it's the shortest of the liturgical year. So that's technically when Lent ends.
All right, we're tied. Not the kind of tie we usually like to go for, but we're tied. I started with these obscure Lent questions. It's going to get better. Don't worry. My questions get better as I go on. Although, they're all about Lent for the first round. I probably should have told you that. Here's your question number two, Wayne. Wayne, Lent is symbolically 40 days long. Which of the following is not a biblical precursor to the 40 days of Lent? A, Moses stayed on the mountain of God for 40 days. B, Rome was given 40 days to repent. Or C, Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness praying and fasting prior to undertaking his ministry. One of those three is not a biblical precursor to the 40 days. Was it A, Moses stayed on the mountain of God for 40 days? B, Rome was given 40 days to repent? Or C, Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness praying and fasting?
I'm going to lock in B, please.
Good job.
I was more worried about Darren than you on that one. Yeah,
good job, Wayne. And I would assume that you caught what was wrong with that answer, it being Rome, right? So Nineveh was given 40 days to repent, as recorded in Jonah chapter 3, verse 4. But Cy was tricky.
I know I was tricky, but not tricky enough for Wayne that
That's
time.
That's right.
What's the dog's name, by the way, that you're going to drive across Australia with, Wayne?
Owen.
Owen? A dog named Owen.
Owen Michael.
Owen Michael. He sounds like a very formal dog.
I'm going to have to pick on my friend, Owen.
Oh, you have a friend named Owen?
And we have a dear friend, family friends, and their son's named Owen back in Marietta. So
well,
I have something to pick on him about now.
Abby, can you wait a minute? Because we got to take our first break, and then we'll continue with the Catholic Answers game show. Is that all right, Abby?
Yes.
All right, right back to continue the Catholic Answers quiz game show.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register and co-host of Register Radio with Matthew Bunsen. Join us every week as we talk with the Register's expert writers and editors about the news you need to know and offer authentic Catholic insights on the important stories that impact your life. Register Radio, every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern and Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern here on EWTN Global Catholic Radio.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Game Show. I am Cy Kellett, your game show host. Our game show is also officially a quiz show. And on the line, we have Abby and Wayne. They're playing for a fabulous room full of gifts and prizes. Abby, you are on question number two, round one. And here you go, Abby. Each Friday in Lent is a day of A, fasting, B, abstinence, C, fasting and abstinence. Abby, once again, each Friday in Lent is a day of A, fasting, B, abstinence, C, fasting and abstinence.
I'm going to say B.
Very good.
Yeah, you're going to say B. Go ahead. Yo, do you got nothing to say about that one?
Well,
it's just that's just the rules.
Let's ask Abby. Abby, why did you pick B?
Well, I think Good Friday is a day of fasting and abstinence, and so is Wednesday, but normal Fridays are just abstinence.
There you go.
Oh, you better be scared now, Wayne. Did you hear that explanation?
Oh, man.
Good job, Abby. That was fantastic.
I don't think we're going to be giving you any reading material for the trip, Wayne. I have a feeling Abby's about to bring it. All right, here's Wayne's last question of round one. Wayne, throughout Lent, Christians are asked to do three things. These three things are sometimes called the pillars of Lent. They are to pray, fast, and A, give to the church, B, give food, money, or other material things to the poor, or C, give up at least one habitual sin. Once again, throughout Lent, Christians are asked to do three things: pray, fast, and A, give to the church, B, give money, food, or other material things to the poor, or C, give up at least one habitual sin.
I'm going to ask Carlo to give the answer in Pig Latin, please.
Oh, you're my best friend right now, Wayne.
Gosh,
you are my best friend right now.
All right, well, actually, this should
you could
be...
do it in one word if you want, because I gave the definition, but you could just give the word.
This shouldn't be too difficult, because you should be able to determine which one I'm saying here. So let's give it a shot. Okay, so the first word is give, because all three of them are give, okay? So starting with the second word, udfe, onime, roe, thoroe, that was a hard one, atiriome, hingste, ote, hete, orpe.
Do you want me to go over them again, or do you know what it is?
Go over the letters again, please.
A is give to the church, B is give food, money, or other material things to the poor, or C is give up at least one habitual sin.
I'm going to say B.
You
yes.
Good
job, Wayne.
That is actually the definition of give alms. So pray, fast, and give alms.
Yeah, the catechism talks about giving alms to the poor, yeah. and the poor being central to alms. In paragraph 2447, 2462, our Lord gives us the practice, instructs us as Christians to engage in the practice of giving alms in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, a part of the Sermon on the Mount, which comes along with our Lord also giving us the instructions, to pray and to fast. And what's interesting is that these three pillars of Lent, prayer, fasting, and giving alms, are sort of the remedies to the threefold concupiscence. Right?
Oh.
The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So the fasting
yeah.
is the solution to the lust of the flesh.
Yes.
Ordering our bodily appetites, desire for food and drink. Lust of the eyes, a giving of alms, which is this question, is the remedy for the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes having to do with seeing a creaturely good and wanting to possess it. And then, of course, prayer, in which we humble ourselves before the Lord, is the remedy to the pride of life, which involves an assertion of self, as the Catechism points out, a self-assertion that's disordered yeah. and beyond the boundaries of reason, where we assert ourselves in the place of God, so to speak, because we're going outside the design of God.
I don't want to have any other guests than Carlo from now on. That was so good. I didn't know any of that stuff. I love learning that stuff.
What's even cooler.
Oh, no, there's nothing cooler than that. What you just did.
Is when you look at the three temptations of our Lord in the wilderness,
yeah.
those three temptations map on to temptations that Satan gave to Adam in the Garden of Paradise and the temptations of the Israelites in the wilderness.
What?
And the threefold concupiscence, they all tie together. So as the Catechism says,
oh, but here we go.
In the three temptations in the wilderness, our yeah. Lord is recapitulating the temptations of Adam in paradise and the temptations of Israel in the wilderness.
When you talk about it, Carl, the thing I love about it, it makes it seem like God had this planned out from the whole, right from the beginning. He had this.
I think that would be a reasonable conclusion.
All right. Abby, question number three for you. The spiritual practice of giving things up is undertaken every day in Lent, A, except on Sundays, B, including on Sundays, or C, on Sundays or not, depending on what the person chooses. Once again, the spiritual practice of giving things up is undertaken every day of Lent, A, except on Sundays, B, including on Sundays, or C, on Sundays or not, depending on what the person chooses.
C.
Good.
I knew it. I knew
it.
Wayne was in trouble as soon as.
Yep. Very good, Abby. That's right. So it is true that that Sundays are a part of the season of Lent.
Yes, first Sunday of Lent, second Sunday of Lent.
Amen. Yep. But the penitential practices that we impose upon ourselves during the season, because they are voluntary, we can voluntarily unbind ourselves, so to speak, quote unquote, because we can't really bind ourselves to something we voluntarily undertake. Yeah. But customarily, people try to practice the penitential practices, and then on Sunday, because of its solemnity, they allow themselves to, indulge in whatever creaturely good within reason yeah. that they were giving up during the penitential practice.
Right.
But some others might choose to say, hey,
Father Hugh does even through Sunday. Father Hugh told me on the air that I should just keep pushing through, and I was like, "Who can give up cheese for 40 days?" And he did not. He didn't agree with that. All right, we're into round two. What's the score right now? Are we tied up 2-2? Each got 2 points, so we're tied up, heading towards your final judgment. Here is round two. Oh, could somebody tell me where we are with the lifelines right now? Is it just Abby has one lifeline left? No. Wait. Okay, Abby has two lifelines left. All right, here we go. Round two. Wayne, your first question. Wayne, Arianism is the belief that A, the Holy Spirit proceeds only from the Father, B, there is only one master race of humans, or C, Jesus is not a fully divine person. Once again, Wayne, Arianism is the belief that A, the Holy Spirit proceeds only from the Father, B, there is only one master race of humans, or C, Jesus is not a fully divine person.
I think it's C.
Good job.
Well, no, he didn't answer. He said, I think it's C. That's not an answer.
I will give it to him.
No, you did good, Wayne.
Yeah, good job, Wayne.
I'm hanging on by a thread. I'm hanging on.
Yeah, that's right. You are, yeah.
Yeah. Arius taught that Christ was a creature, the highest creature, but nevertheless a creature made by God. So his view was that Jesus is essentially distinct from God in the order of being. God is infinite. He viewed Jesus, insofar as he's a creature, of being finite. This heresy was condemned by the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD.
And would there be any religious groups who continue to hold that Jesus is the highest creature, but not the...
Yeah, we find it in Jehovah's Witnesses in teaching that Jesus is not equal to Almighty God, and that he is a creature.
Yep. All right. Mm-hmm. Here's your first question of round two. This is a good challenging one. This is an either you know it or you don't know it one. All right, Abby, here you go. Your first question. Abby, we owe God A, latria, B, dulia, C, hyperdulia. Once again, Abby, we owe God A, latria, B, dulia, C, hyperdulia.
B.
Oh, good try, Abby.
Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of you said these questions were very easy, and that's one of them that's...
Either you know it or you don't.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Right. There's no sort of reasoning through it unless you know Latin or something. So dulia, Abby, is the Latin word that's used to describe the honor that we give to the saints. Hyperdulia is the term that we use to describe the honor that we give to Mary, which is the highest honor that a creature can possibly receive. But latria is the term that the Second Ecumenical Council of Nicaea in 787 reserved for God alone. And that's the worship and the adoration that we give to God. And adoration and worship is what we give to God alone. It comes from the Greek latreia, which is actually in form used by St. Paul in Galatians chapter 5, verse 20, where he's condemning idolatria, idolatry.
Yeah.
Right? So we find it there, and that would mean worshiping an image, worshiping a false god, etc. So latria or latreia is the adoration that we reserve for God alone.
I always find this one helpful when I have to explain this to people who say, you Catholics worship Mary. To say in English, I don't know if I can make a clear distinction for you, but we've always had, or not always, but you know, for the long history of the church, we've made this clear distinction that only God receives latria, and dulia and hyperdulia are reserved for the saints and Mary. I find that easier than trying to parse English words, because English words are less clear.
Right. We're simply taking two clear, distinct labels, right, and saying, hey, this belongs to God, this belongs to anything other than God.
Yeah. All right, here's your second question of round two. Wayne, which of the following accurately describes the truth about the Holy Spirit? A, the Holy Spirit is one of the three parts of God. B, the Holy Spirit is fully God. C, the Holy Spirit is one of the modes God uses to relate to us. Once again, which of the following accurately describes the truth about the Holy Spirit? I don't know what. I had a little problem there for a second. The Holy Spirit is one of the three parts of God. B, the Holy Spirit is fully God. Or C, the Holy Spirit is one of the modes God uses to relate to us. If you want me to repeat them, I'm happy to do it.
B. Hey.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Just drop that bomb on us. The Holy Spirit is fully God. That's your claim?
That's my claim.
All right.
Awesome. Good. Well, that's the Catholic claim. That's the Christian claim. So good job, Wayne. Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 691 states, the Holy Spirit is the proper name of the one whom we adore and glorify with the Father and the Son. And you know what's a cool biblical passage that supports our belief that the Holy Spirit is equal to the Father and the Son, Almighty God?
No, I'm good.
Acts chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, that's where Ananias and Sapphira were told, lie to the Holy Spirit, right? Satan filled your heart, Peter says, to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the proceeds of the land, right?
Yeah.
Then right in the next verse, in verse 4, he says, you have not lied to men, but God. To God.
Ah, yeah, right.
So insofar as they lie to the Holy Spirit, Peter recognizes they're lying to God because the Holy Spirit in Peter's mind is God and also in reality.
Man, Carlo.
Pretty cool,
are you on fire today or what? All right, so I don't know what the score is, but I think we're on question number two for Abby, right? Are we on question number two, round two for Abby? Abby, music's playing. Can you hang on a sec?
Of course.
We keep making you wait. We got to do this. So we'll do these, as they say, brief messages and be right back for more of the Catholic Answers game show, quiz show, right after this.
Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Game Show. It's Wayne against Abby. Australia against South Carolina. Seems like Australia has significant advantages if there's a battle between Australia and South Carolina.
I don't know. Abby's throwing down, man. And yeah, plus, she's 15, I'm just talking about, bro.
I know. Abby's 15 and killing it right now. And right. I know. Makes me feel bad about my own upbringing and how I was when I was 15. Abby, you ready for question number two, Abby?
Yes.
All right. I'm just going to give you a terribly hard question because you're super smart.
All right, get ready, Abby.
Here it is. Abby, a common Calvinist belief is that A, God positively wills that some souls go to hell, irrespective of whether they deserve it or not. B, God created his son and then created everything else through his son. Or C, God prohibits the consumption of alcohol, tobacco, and coffee. I just realized this would be a great one for the Pig Latin, because these are not short answers.
No.
Abby, once again, a common Calvinist belief is that A, God positively wills that some souls go to hell, irrespective of whether they deserve it or not. B, God created his son and then created everything else through his son. Or C, God prohibits consumption of alcohol, tobacco, and coffee.
All right, I'm going to ask Carlo to take away a wrong answer.
Oh.
Okay, I'm going to take away C. God prohibits consumption of alcohol, tobacco, and coffee.
You want me to read the other two answers again?
No, I think I got them. All right, I'm going to go with A.
Yes, you do. Yes, good you job, do have Abby. Abby, nice going.
Yeah. So of wicked and obstinate men, John Calvin wrote in his Institutes of Christian of the Christian Religion, Book 1, Chapter 18, God bends them, the wicked and the obstinate, God bends them to execute his judgments, just as if they carried their orders engraven on their minds, and hence it appears that they are impelled by the sure appointment of God. So God positively moving these wicked men to sin. In other words, God causing them to sin, it, not merely permitting them to sin,
right,
which we would agree with and affirm. That's what we believe. But on this view, God actually positively causing them to sin. Yeah. And that causation, that willing them, that moving them to sin, being a part of his eternal plan, which falls under the label of double predestination.
Yeah, and certainly many people who are Calvinists, and that's why I wrote a common Calvinist belief, yeah, would not claim this belief. So we don't want to just put words in other people's mouths, but there are this is fairly common for Calvinists to believe this. God created his son, then created everything else through him. We already talked about that one, that was Arianism.
And they wouldn't affirm that. No.
And then the last one, God prohibits consumption of alcohol, tobacco, and coffee. I got that from the Mormons. And there might be other religions, but that's Latter-day Saints.
Some small Christian groups would affirm C, but not Calvinists.
Okay, last question of round two for Wayne. Wayne, which of the following best describes Islam? A, a monotheistic religion founded after Judaism, but before Christianity. B, a monotheistic religion that rejects the Holy Trinity. Or C, a monotheistic religion that follows Christianity in accepting the divinity of Jesus. Once again, Wayne, which of the following best describes Islam? A, a monotheistic religion founded after Judaism but before Christianity. B, a monotheistic religion that rejects the Holy Trinity. Or C, a monotheistic religion that follows Christianity in accepting the divinity of Jesus.
B.
Yeah, good job, Wayne.
I think his last three answers were B, because he says it so forcefully. B. So I don't know. Did you just know that one already?
Yeah, you're giving me the easy ones now, because I think you're feeling.
No, the whole thing is planned out before that's not how this works. They're all written down, as Carlo can testify, and Carlo never lies because he's a Thomist.
Indeed. I try my best. Well, there's one thing to try to never lie, and then another thing to never lie.
Right.
But one thing I wanted to note for our listeners, and I thought I put this in the editing part, but which of the following accurately describes Islam?
Because A and C. You did put that in the editing.
A and C are actually false. So best describes implies that one of them might kind of be true, the other one's the best. So B is the answer that is true and accurately describes, as opposed to best describes. So lest our listeners be confused a bit, I wanted to make that clarification.
As a matter of fact, I think if I understand my history of Islam, the Holy Trinity is one of the things that really bothered Muhammad about Christianity. Like, he saw it as a form of polytheism.
Yeah, and that would be a common understanding among many, right, who don't understand the metaphysics of the divine nature and how all that works.
Last question for Abby, then we're going to add it up and see who's going on to their final judgment. Abby, which of the following accurately describes most Protestant communities? So long as they baptize, they are in full communion with the Catholic Church. That's A. B, they are in a partial or imperfect communion with the Catholic Church. Or C, they are completely cut off from communion with the Catholic Church. Once again, Abby, your question, which of the following accurately describes most Protestant communities? A, so long as they baptize, they are in full communion with the Catholic Church. B, they are in a partial and imperfect communion with the Catholic Church. Or C, they are completely cut off from communion with the Catholic Church.
Okay, can I have the answer in Pig Latin?
Oh, yes, you can, Abby. Yes, you can. And thank you for saving it up for this one.
All right. So these are actually all fairly the same length, so length will not give it away. But there is one word in it that will give it away. Let's see if she can catch it. All right. So here, starting with the first word, Abby. Hete, reae, nie, ae, arshielpe, roe, perfectie, omunionke, ithwe, hete, atholike, herche. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He did a good job, Carlo. I'm proud of you. Do you know which one that is, or do you want me to read the three of them again?
Yes. B, partial communion.
Yeah. All right. Now, let me ask you this. Did you know that before he did that fantastic performance of Pig Latin, or no?
Yes.
Oh, you did. Yeah.
Abby.
All right. I'm going to have to ask the supercomputer to churn away and figure out who goes on now to their final judgment. And the person that's going on to their final judgment, I'll tell you how you win prizes. But for whoever is not going on to their final judgment, we have four books for you. The one who's not going on to final judgment will get three books from Carlo Broussard, his Prepare the Way, mm-hmm. Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church, his Meeting the Protestant Challenge, How to Answer 50 Biblical Objections to Catholic Beliefs, and Purgatory is for Real, Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet. And then for our fourth book, he gets my book,
yeah.
A Teacher of Strange Things, Who Jesus Was, What He Taught, and Why People Still Follow Him. So did the supercomputer give me a score? Oh, I don't see it on the screen, so somebody just tell it to me. Abby got how many? Oh my gosh, supercomputer. Yeah. This is a major media production. Can we just have an answer? Wayne, 5 correct answers. Abby, 4. I'm going to go with that means Wayne is the winner. Abby, thank you so much. Congratulations on winning those prizes. We really appreciate that you played.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
You're also just a super cool person. I'm really glad we got to talk with you. So,
thank you.
You know what? Go give God some latria.
Amen to that. And I just got to say, Abby, God bless you. You're so articulate for a 15-year-old, and that brings such delight to me. So God bless you for that, and keep it up.
Yeah, keep it up, Abby. And
awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, call us during the live show sometime. Ask a question, all right?
That sounds great. Thank you.
All right, we got Wayne. It's time for your final judgment. Wayne, are you ready for your final judgment?
I'm ready. Abby's clearly cleverer than me, but I'm still here. So.
That's right. Wayne's I felt the same way, Wayne. I thought, wow, how did Wayne pull that out? We'll find out right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Divine Intimacy Radio.
The greatest joy in my life is helping others to come to know Christ more fully. And there's no better light on this path, the path to deep union with God, than the wisdom of the saints. Talking about this daily on EWTN Radio is one of the great joys of my life.
Divine Intimacy Radio, Sunday, 6:30 a.m., 1:30 p.m., and 11 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kelly, your host. Last segment, and it's the final judgment for Wayne in Australia. Wayne lives in Melbourne, Australia. He and his dog, Owen Michael, are going to get in the caravan and drive across Australia out to Perth on Tuesday. It's not a caravan, though. You said it's a trailer, right? You got a car with a trailer?
Well, it's a Ford Transit van.
Oh.
And the trailer is just going to be full of boxes. So I'll be sleeping in the van.
Ah, very good. So you just are like, you love boxes, you can't get rid of them? Or what's the deal with that? Just traveling across Australia with a bunch of boxes?
No, the boxes have stuff in them.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't know. I'm really slow sometimes.
Come on, Amelia Bedelia.
Hey, you know, talking with you at the break, Wayne, it was a great pleasure to get to have a minute to talk with you down there in Australia. And something beautiful recently happened in your life. And I feel like you should share that with our global audience, the beautiful thing that recently happened to you.
Well, a beautiful thing that happened to me was that I, quite a while back, I bought
size book. And I was holding on for the audio book. And I finally got the audio book, and I'm loving it so far.
Oh, that is thank you, Wayne. That's very nice to say.
Tooting that own horn of yours.
I had no idea you're going to say something so nice about it. Yeah, the audio book is out. I know, and that's great. And you know, we could probably send you, depending on which prizes you win, we could maybe send them to you as audiobooks. That might be the quickest way to get them to you. But you ready to? Okay, we got to go to your final judgment now. Here we go. The way final judgment works is there's 7 questions. If you get them all right, you win a $50 shopping spree at shop.catholic.com, our website. But if, as we go through each one, before I ask you the question, I'm going to name a prize, and you get that prize if you answer the question correctly. Are you ready for your final judgment?
I'm ready.
All right. Question number one, you're playing for... I'm just going to say things and you guys can write them down. How does that sound? That makes me feel important when I do that. You're playing for Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church, a book by Carlo Broussard. True or false, Wayne? We know that Jesus visited Africa, the Middle East, and Europe. Wayne, true or false? We know that Jesus visited Africa, the Middle East, and Europe. Did we lose Wayne?
I'm going to say false.
Good job.
Nice job. I'm glad you said false because now you got Carlo's book, Prepare the Way. Which one was giving you trouble?
I just didn't know if Turkey was a factor and whether it would have been counted as Europe or...
Yeah, right.
But I don't think it has anything to do with anything.
I think the Romans called Turkey Asia anyways. I think that was the name for Turkey at the
Asia
time.
Minor.
Asia Minor, yeah. Yeah. But Jesus went to Africa, Carlo?
Nope.
Yeah, he did. Egypt's in Africa.
Oh, yeah.
Carlo fell asleep for a minute. He said, nope, Jesus didn't go to Africa.
I was thinking false, but that's a true one, but the others are false.
He was born in the Middle East. All right, second one. You're playing for another one of Carlo's books, and that is Meeting the Protestant Challenge, How to Answer 50 Biblical Objections to Catholic Beliefs. True or false, Wayne? True or false? Americanism has been condemned as a sin. Oh, he's an Australian. He might not know this. True or false, Wayne? Americanism has been condemned as a sin.
I'm going to say true.
Are you saying that because you're Australian or because you have some sense of what Americanism is?
I have no idea what Americanism is.
Okay. All right. Carlo, what is it?
Yeah, it's a view that developed that the church should have no influence whatsoever on public policy and should instead adapt to a changing culture, right? So like the church has no voice whatsoever. So a complete divorce of church and state. Pope Leo XIII wrote against these ideas in a letter to Cardinal James Gibbons published as Testem Benevolentiae Nostrae, which is Latin for witness to our goodwill. And he lamented for America where the church and state were dissevered and divorced and condemned this idea known as Americanism.
All right, your third question. So far, you're still in the running for the $50 shopping spree at shop.catholic.com. This time you'll play for Joe's new book, Joe Heschmeyer's new book, The Early Church Was the Catholic Church, the Catholic Witness to the Fathers in Christianity's First 2 Centuries. True or false, Wayne? Any natural water, salt or fresh, can be used for baptism. Wayne, true or false, any natural water, salt or fresh, can be used for baptism.
True.
Good job.
Is Abby there with you helping you? I don't know how you're getting these right, Wayne.
Canon 849.
It's just, you can't have beer.
No, wow. That's called an Australian baptism.
Canon 849 simply stipulates washing by true water. And of course, salt or fresh would fall under that category.
Number four, I love this book, so I'm hoping you win this one. It's called Secrets from Heaven, Hidden Treasures of Faith in the Parables and Conversations of Jesus. It's by Sebastian Walsh, and a great one, if anybody wants to read and meditate on during the season of Lent, Secrets from Heaven. All right. True or false? Now he's in Australia. I don't know if he knows this story, but we'll find out. True or false? The correct baptismal formula is, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Once again, true or false? The correct baptismal formula is, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
False.
Yeah, good job.
Are you aware of all the trouble we're having with this in the United States?
Only from listening to Catholic Answers, but yeah.
Oh, you are a wise man. You're a wise man. Yeah. Why can't we say we, Carlo?
Well, it's not the proper formula. We need to say I because it's the issuing of the sacrament and the person of Christ, right? It's not the community that's baptizing, but the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith settled this issue, answered the question because the question was posed to it in the year of 2020. And on June 24th, the congregation responded to that question saying, no, we must use I baptize you. We baptize you is an invalid form and thus an invalid baptism.
All right. Number five. This is your question number five in your seven question march through your final judgment. Question five. You're playing for Jimmy's book. The Bible is a Catholic book. Jimmy Akin's book. The Bible is a Catholic book. True or false, Wayne? God created humanity because it added to his happiness. Once again, true or false, Wayne? God created humanity because it added to his happiness.
False.
Amen to that. Good job, Wayne. That's some very, very deep philosophy there. I'm actually writing my dissertation on it for my doctorate in philosophy. This particular issue is at the heart of what I'm writing on. And the bottom line is that if humanity was necessary for God's happiness, then God would not be God. He would be dependent on something other than himself, and therefore he would be the independent dependent God, right? The created, uncreated, right? So it would be a contradiction. He just wouldn't be God.
Yeah. So he's perfectly happy.
Perfectly happy with or without us. Now, to modern ears, that sounds like, well, God's indifferent to us. Well, in a metaphysical sense, he is, because we do not affect his being and his reality. We don't determine God.
No.
But he's not indifferent in the sense like he doesn't care. If he didn't care, we wouldn't exist.
Yeah. Or why would he be on the cross?
That's right. If he didn't care, we wouldn't have salvation. So he is not indifferent in that sense.
All right. You're two questions away from the $50 shopping spree at shop.catholic.com. I'm starting to use my golf voice, because we're getting there. Question number six, you're playing for Carlo's book, Purgatory is for Real. I forgot which one we hadn't given away. Purgatory is for Real. Good news about the afterlife for those who aren't perfect yet. True or false, Wayne? I started that wrong. Wayne, true or false? The church forbids married couples from regulating the births of children. Once again, Wayne, true or false? The church forbids married couples from regulating the births of children.
I think it's false.
I think you're right.
Good job, Wayne. The church does permit regulating the birth of children on condition that, first of all, there are, as Humanae Vitae put it in section 10, just or serious reasons. Different translations vary on that, but on the Vatican website, it translates it as serious reasons. That's the first condition. And then second, regulating the birth of children in a way that is consistent with God's divine design for human sexuality. So regulating birth in any way that would impede the sexual act from achieving its natural end of procreation would be contrary to the natural moral law and therefore immoral. So as long as those two conditions are met, the church permits married couples regulating the birth of children by using what is called natural family planning. And that is looking at the cycle of the woman and, for serious reasons, abstaining from intercourse during a time when the woman is unable to conceive, naturally speaking.
Man, you are killing it. One question left, possible $50 shopping spree. This could change your life. But I don't know what book to give away. I've lost track of. Give me a... No, we gave away the early church was Catholic Church. How about Pope Peter? We'll give away Pope Peter. All right, Pope Peter is the next book you're playing for. Wayne, true or false? The mercy of God is infinite. Wayne, true or false? The mercy of God is infinite.
True.
No fear. No fear at all. He just marched right across that. Nice going, Wayne.
Amen. Yeah, for our listeners out there, and Wayne, if you're interested, they might want to check out St. Thomas Aquinas. He has an article on this where he talks about mercy being in God. He asks the question whether mercy is in God, and he answers in the affirmative, yes. And that's in the first part of his Summa Theologiae, question 21. Articles 1 through 4, but particularly Article 3. And then he nuances it, right? He explains the way in which mercy is not in God, like whatever imperfection is associated with mercy for us is not found in God, but whatever aspects of perfection of mercy is found in God. So denying the imperfection, affirming the perfection of mercy in God. And it gets a little bit complicated, but St. Thomas draws and articulates the nuances there.
Now, I want to ask you, Wayne, did you know all of that, or did you just know Psalm 103, the Lord is kind and merciful, his mercy endures forever?
I thought that infinite means infinite. So if you're infinite, everything you possess is infinite.
What?
That's
God.
He's matching St. Thomas right there,
wow.
Right? That's Thomistic thinking, baby. Because
wow.
whatever aspect of being, whatever perfection that we have as creatures is ultimately found in God as the primary cause of all being in perfection. And so there are aspects of perfection for mercy, so that's found in God.
Just a note for Darren, I need you to cut out the sound of Carlo saying, that's Thomistic thinking, baby, and we're going to play that whenever somebody says something really cool. That's Thomistic thinking, baby. That's going to be our new thing. Wayne, you did it. You survived rounds 1 and 2 against the very capable Abby from South Carolina, who I hope we will hear from again. And then perfect 7 for 7 in your final judgment. You're getting all those books that we talked about and the $50.
Good job, Wayne.
Oh, that I love that audience because they quiet down so quickly. After, thank you, audience, for quieting down again. Okay, so isn't there a name? I know you're going into the outback, but isn't there a name for when you drive the freeway or the highway or whatever you call it there from the east all the way out to Perth? Like, people put a sticker on their car, say, I did the... Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I assume you mean the Nullarbor.
Yeah, okay.
Which is from...
Go ahead.
And if my geography's right, it's from Adelaide westward would be the Nullarbor.
And that's what you're going to do?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's one long, boring road where you can go hundreds of miles without even needing to brake.
All right, if you really want to test your courage... Just before you head out on that long, empty road in the west of Australia, watch the movie Mad Max, and then go out there and see how you feel.
The old one or the new one?
No, the first one.
Okay,
the first one where he's just out on those. Are you familiar with the movie Mad Max, or have I?
I am. I am indeed, yes.
Yeah. I really like talking with you, Wayne. I hope we'll see you when we're in Australia. I think we're going to go to Australia this year.
Hopefully so.
I hope we do.
Please visit, and I'll... If I can somehow email you or something, it'd be wonderful. So.
That'd be fantastic. Do we have somewhere we can send the prizes to? We all set? Okay, great. I'm going to give you one more piece of advice. When you get to Perth, go to Amore Mio Pizza. It's the best pizza on earth.
It was an amazing place.
Okay.
That was a
Amore
great time.
Mio Pizza.
And Wayne, God bless you, brother.
Yes, God bless you, Wayne. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. God bless you, too.
Yeah, safe travels. I was going to say Nullarbor.
I know the
feeling,
bro.
And so I said safe travels.
I know the feeling.
It's Friday. I hate Friday. I like Monday. I love getting in front of this microphone. I hate leaving it behind. Carlo, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me, Si.
Darren, thanks. Great job. I mean, he gave himself the not so certain about that. You did a very good job doing nothing during that whole show, Edgar. Great work. And the intern, Angel, beautiful work. That does it for us. See you next time, God willing, right here, Catholic Answers Live.